Heavenly Father, we come and we do recognize that we are a blessed people. By any standard, we are blessed of you. Lord, the standard that I always use is a revelation standard. Lord, I'm the wealthiest man on the planet because I have the revelation of Jesus Christ. You have revealed yourself to me. I know that mega billionaires on this planet don't have the revelation that I have. So I am more blessed. And so we thank you, Lord. We're a blessed people here at East River. And so we come and we acknowledge you as the one true God. There is no other but you. There's fakes, there's pretenders, there's deceivers. There's the one that was kicked out of heaven. But Lord, there is only one true God. Yahweh is his name. And so we come and we worship you. We open ourselves up to you right now. And we say, will you speak? And we will obey. To your glory, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, if you haven't been here in a while, we've been going through the book of Acts. We've been parked in Acts 19. Actually, I'm doing part 5 on the Holy Spirit. I wasn't planning on doing on a mini-series on the Holy Spirit, but you hear the Spirit and you go where the Spirit says to go. And so in the book of Acts, we see the church in its infancy, but yet there's some strength to them. And we see that right away they begin to live counterculture. They come and they begin to live really 180 opposite their culture. And we're going to look at that. And the way they do that, you know, when I read the scripture, I'm like, how did they do it? How did they do it? Well, they were Spirit empowered. They understood the role of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what I've been talking about. The ushers are going to come and hand really a summary of what we've already covered, in case you weren't here. If you haven't been here, I want to encourage you, get on our app and listen to the sermons, the first 4 parts. Get on our website, deeperlives.com. Listen for it. We even have podcasts. Get on our podcast. There's 3 different ways to listen to this. But the early church understood the work of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at 13 different works and ministries of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to review them real quick. And these are important. Daniel spoke about one. The first one, he stirs up boldness to proclaim Jesus. You were very correct. It was the Holy Spirit that was stirring up in you, right? Stirring up in you to be bold beyond your natural ability. He comforts us in our struggles and our challenges. He helps us in our communication with the Father when we're struggling, when we don't know how to pray. He helps us. Provides the power to bury the old nature. That old nature keeps cropping up. Those old addictions, whatever. But he gives us the power to bury them once and for all. He makes us new. We've been renewed again. When we came to him, something internally happened. And it's all the work of the Spirit. He gives us strength to live godly life, to live by these principles and precepts. He confirms that we are his. You know, if I got a dollar, I would say if I got a dollar for every time a believer questions his salvation, I'd be a wealthy pastor. But you know what? It's the Holy Spirit's job to remind us that we belong to him. If you're questioning whether you're saved, chances are you're probably saved, right? Because unsaved people, I never went around saying, you know, I wonder if I'm saved. Yeah. I didn't know what saved was. So you're probably saved. And you're probably, as they say, a hillbilly. No, that's a whole different sermon. Whole different sermon. Where was I? Stick to the notes. Oh, confirms we're his. Number 8, he teaches us and he guides us into all truth. That's real important to today because people are all over the place. I never thought I'd see the blindness that we are in as a nation and as a world. But it's the Holy Spirit that will teach us and guide us to truth. He sets us free from the law of sin and death. Sin is not supposed to rule us. Sin is not supposed to have the kind of hold that sometimes it has. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to break that. He separates us from the muck of this world. This world is almost like it slimes us. We go out there every day and it slimes us. Well, it takes the Holy Spirit to separate us, that we would be set free and separated for his work. He distributes spiritual gifts to us. We reviewed that. He anoints us for ministry. He also seals us for the day of redemption. Now, what I want to look at today are 3 other works and ministries of the Holy Spirit. And the things that I'm going to mention today, people desire these things. In fact, people spend lots of money, lots of time, lots of energy chasing these three things that we're going to talk about today. But you know what? You get them free. They're free because the Holy Spirit within you is willing to provide these for you free of cost, right? Because it's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's why the Holy Spirit was sent down. Now you're saying, what are these three things? Well, we're going to talk about, and think about our world. Think about how much money our world spends chasing these things. Think about how much energy our world spends on these three things. The first one is joy. Joy. Think about what people do to try to get joy. Think the next one is strength, internal strength, inner strength. Think of what our world tries to do in order to have some kind of inner strength. And then last one is love. Looking for love in all the wrong places. That's our role for you. You know, but you and I are different, or at least we should be different, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Francis Chan, who I've been quoting through this series in the book, The Forgotten God, talking about the Holy Spirit, says this. If it's true that the Spirit of God dwells in us, in you and I, and that our bodies are the Holy Spirit's temple, then shouldn't there be a huge difference between the person who has the Spirit of God living inside of them or her and the person who does not? And the answer is what? Yes, there should be a huge difference. And so I will ask you, is there a huge difference in you? Do people see a difference between you and those that are around you at your places of work? If not, then for sure you need to listen carefully tonight, right? Because the Holy Spirit wants to do a lot of things in you tonight. We've been going through the book of Acts, as I mentioned, and we're at Acts 19, verse 1 and 2. And this is where the Apostle Paul goes into Ephesus, a magnificent city, much like our city in Portland. And there he finds some disciples, and he begins to ask them this question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Wanted to know where they were with the Holy Spirit. And they said to him, we have not even so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. That's why I've titled this series, What Holy Spirit? Because most believers are, I don't want to say ignorant of the Holy Spirit, although there is a big, huge section of people that are, but I don't think they understand the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit like they ought to. But you're not among those, amen? You're not among those, because I'm going to make sure that you know everything you need to know about the Holy Spirit. So here we go. Talking about joy, the first point for tonight. The Holy Spirit gives us joy beyond circumstances. And you see, that's great news to you and I. Gives us joy beyond our circumstances, right? 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says this. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he says, you became followers of us. Talking about, the word there is imitators. You became imitators of us. Which really is talking about discipleship, right? You should, if you led somebody to the Lord, you should be concerned about their discipleship. You should say, imitate me, right? I'm following after Christ, right? Feel free to follow me and watch my example. That's part of discipleship. I'm grateful that the people that led me to the Lord cared enough to disciple me. And now I'm discipling other people. That's the way it's supposed to work. So the Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, you became followers of us, imitators of us, and of the Lord. Having received the word. I love that. You come to church, I'm ready. I'm ready to take my notes. In the morning you wake up, you get on our app and you see what we're going to read, what verses we're going to read that day, and you're ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to receive the word. That's the way the early church did. And he says, and having received the word in much affliction. Wait a minute. That's in the Bible? Affliction? Yes. See, the church, the early believers went through a lot of affliction. They lost their families when they got converted. Their families abandoned them. A lot of these folks, when they came to the Lord, they're done. Right? I think of my first youth pastor that I ever had, Faiz Rahman, from India. He came from a Hindu family. His dad, I think, was a doctor. His mom was a lawyer, or the other way around. And when he announced that he had given his life to Jesus, even though he was in junior high at the time, they said, renounce him or we're done with you. Could you imagine being in junior high and told either renounce or you're out of here. We're not part of this family. So that's exactly what happened. He wouldn't renounce Jesus, so they kicked him out. Done with him. To them, he was dead. Well, guess who had to raise him? The church, right? The church led him to Jesus, so now it becomes the church's responsibility. That's how I met him. The church sent him to the United States for Bible training. And as an intern in our church, he was one of the people that was instrumental in leading me to the Lord. So the early church understands. So when he reads this about affliction, he's like, yeah, I can relate. It cost me my family. The early church were losing jobs. They were losing their social status. Even in our day now, you're seeing believers, they're not getting jobs or losing jobs because of their stance regarding the Lord. That's happening even in our day. So this really speaks to us. We're still going to receive the word. He says, in much affliction, but I love what he says next. With joy of the Holy Spirit. You mean it's possible to lose your family and still have joy? Is it possible to lose your job because of your faith and still have joy? Is it possible to be considered a social outcast and still have joy? And the answer is what? Yes. Not because of the circumstances, but because the Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit can give us joy beyond our circumstances. See, in our day, people, you know, I think of my brother. My brother's going to come up here next week, and I love my brother, but I remember my brother, when we were younger and he had gotten a good job and he went and got a sports car, right? You know, you gotta have a sports car. You're making all this money, big money, and so you gotta buy a sports car. So my brother, I mean, I was excited. You know, he got a sports car. I wish it was my sports car, but I got to ride in it, so that's cool. I'll take that. But I remember, here's an interesting thing. Probably about 3 weeks, 4 weeks of having that sports car, you know, he said, you know, I kind of regret buying this car. He goes, because the newness has worn off. He goes, this car gets me from point A to point B just like my old car did. See, and that's really what's wrong with people chasing after joy. They chase it. They go get a new house, or they go get a new car, or they go get a new wife, or they, you know, whatever. And because you think that's going to bring you joy, and in time you realize what? It will not bring you joy. But the Holy Spirit will. In fact, Romans 14, 17 talks about that joy is really a distinguishing mark of the kingdom. That you and I are supposed to be thought of as, man, those Christians, I don't know why, there's always joy. They're always singing. Didn't they hear that there's going to be layoffs? Didn't they hear there's an announcement, you know, 150 people are going to get laid off? 1,000, and you know, so here they are walking around, you know, work, just singing. Come on, right? Yeah, that's who we are, because there's joy in us. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, oh my gosh, did you hear there's going to be did you hear there's going to be layoffs? You did, okay, and you still got joy, right? You still got joy. That's really a distinguishing mark of our believers, because the King is in residence. The King is always with me. See, I've got something much greater than a new house. I've got something much greater than a new job or a new whatever it might be. What I have is permanent, and it goes with me wherever I go, regardless of the circumstances. Now, this life, there's ups and downs. This life brings challenges. Stuff kind of hits you from left field, but guess what? If you got the Holy Spirit in you, there should still be joy because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Apart from circumstances. I like the way the Apostle Paul described this in his own life. In Psalms 4, verse 7 and 8, I love this. Once again, you got to understand, the Apostle Paul lived in a time when it was, you know, really an agrarian society, and so he understood farming. I've got farms around me up in North Plains, and so when I read this, I'm like, yeah, I understand this. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Psalms 4. He says, you, talking about God, you have put gladness or joy... You have put gladness in my heart. I love that. He knows where it comes from. He says, Lord, that's what you did for me. You put it there. And then he gives an example. He says, more than in the season that their grain and wine increase or flow. See, he's talking about, you know, seeing these farmers. He says, when the harvest comes in, he says, man, they're like excited. You know why they're excited? Because it's like payday once a year. Can you imagine if you just got one paid once a year, like a farmer does? How excited would you be? You'd be pretty excited, right? You're like, oh my gosh. You know, I'm looking at the bank account, and it's on fumes, right? It's on fumes. It needs an infusion, and so you get paid once a year. It would be nice if you got paid what you earn once a year without taxes. Man, that'd be awesome, right? Now I'm dreaming. But he says, man, there's a gladness in my heart. Just like a farmer, when the harvest comes in, right? When the grain and the wine come flowing, he says, verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and in sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He goes, man, I don't have the worry and the anxiety that everybody else around me. Probably one of the highest prescribed medications out there is probably anxiety. If you're in here and you suffer anxiety, you got to do business with the Lord. Say, Lord, wait a minute, why do I have anxiety? I'm supposed to have joy of the Holy Spirit. Will you help fix the things that bring me that anxiety, that anxious, whatever it might be? You got to go to Him. You got to spend time on your knees. Fast and pray. You got to spend time with Him. And I tell you what, then you can testify one day. Oh, man, you wouldn't be surprised what the Lord did. We're not surprised because we've seen Him do it over and over again. But David, I love that. He goes, man, the joy in my heart at being in your presence really is like the joy of when the harvest comes in. You know, when I feel the greatest joy, and I mentioned that a little bit in my prayer, I you will never find me as joyous as I am as when I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. I mean, when you know God spoke, right? And it's a small whisper. He might give you an idea. He might give you a direction. He might tell you to do something, but when you hear the Holy Spirit speak, I have joy in my heart. You know why? Because I understand this, and I explained it to somebody this week. I know where it came from. It left the throne of heaven and came down here through the Holy Spirit, and He spoke to me. See, it traveled a distance. I don't know how far that is. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I know that God is speaking to me. That God knows who I am. He knows my name. He knows everything about me. That He's not asleep on the job. He hasn't forsaken me. He hasn't given up on me. I understand those things. And so when I hear the small, still voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, joy rises up in me. He's not done with me. Do you understand that? He's not done with me. You need to hear that, people. You know, another thing, when guys like Gideon comes, or when we go to Haiti or different places, another time that I receive joy is when He expands my understanding that I'm part of a worldwide family. I've got brothers and sisters all over the world. Sometimes I think they're all in Hillsborough and East River. No, they're beyond that. The church is worldwide. I forget that. And then when I read Hebrews 11, and I understand there's these witnesses, this cloud of witnesses, people that have gone before us. They're also watching what's going on. Man, there's joy that begins to enter my heart. And it's the Holy Spirit time and time again reminding me of those things. When I think I'm alone, He says, oh, no, you're not alone. I'm not only with you, but I got others around you. See? When you think everybody's forsaken you, you got to understand, not only have I not forsaken you, nobody else has forsaken you, because family does not forsake family. Can I get an amen? Amen. So the Holy Spirit gives His joy beyond your circumstances. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how good they are. The second thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit gives us strength in the inner man, right? In the inner man. I don't know if you've ever read this holy book and read some principles. And you're saying, this is the hardest book I've ever tried to follow. This is the hard, you know, when I read this, I know when I read it, I don't have the capacity in myself to obey this book. I know it. I've tried it, right? I've said in the morning, you know what? I'm going to do different today. It started way back when I first got saved. Way back then, I would wake up in the morning and say, today I'm not going to cuss. Right? Back then. It's not a problem. Hasn't been a problem for a couple weeks. And, you know, I'm but But I would wake up in the morning, I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And lo and behold, somebody would make me call him a name. You know how it works, right? It's always somebody else's fault. Wasn't you. No, I didn't know you back then. You wouldn't have put up with it. Lord was getting me ready for Pam. But you know what? I quickly realized that I don't have the strength to walk in what God has for me, that I need the power of the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit began to clean this and break that off of me and get rid of this thing and convict me of this thing and you know, and give me a strategy for having victory. And that's really the way it works. He strengthens the inner man because there are those challenges that are beyond us. The Apostle Paul, for the church of Ephesus, prayed this. Look at Ephesians 3:16. This is an awesome prayer. He says, I'm praying, and if you want to know a good prayer, study the Apostle Paul's prayers. He says, I'm praying this, that God would grant you according to his riches of his glory. I love this. He's not, you know, I'm going to pray that if God's got some spare change, he's going to give it to you. He didn't pray that. He's not praying, you know, whatever reserves God has or no, he's not praying that. He's saying, I want God to dig deep, right? That other thing too, in his pocket, right? According to the riches of his glory, right? To open up the floodgates for you. That's what he's praying. That's a good prayer. According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. He says, I'm asking that God will strengthen you with might through his spirit. Where? In the inner man. See, the Apostle Paul says, your resources aren't enough. Your strength isn't enough. So I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit begin to do a work internally, right? That you don't have to bare knuckle it anymore. That you don't just have to hang on, right? Like an ex-smoker. Ah! You know, you talk to an ex-smoker or you talk to a smoker that's trying to quit and they're like, man, I've got 30 minutes clean, you know? And that's a start, right? That's a start. See, and you can apply that to all kinds of stuff, right? I'm not picking on people trying to quit smoking. I'm not picking on you because all of us have been there where we're like, yeah, I'm doing great. I haven't done this for a day, you know, but it's a start. But you see, but we're still white knuckling it apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from the Holy Spirit doing an inner work in us. And then guess what? It falls off of us. That's the only way I can describe it. It falls off of us. I recently prayed for someone, and that's the way they described what happened as I'm praying for them. They said, it sounds weird, but it's like something fell off of me. Huh? No, it's not weird to me because I've felt the same thing. Stuff falls off of me. Right? I've prayed for people, and they say that. And that's really the Holy Spirit working, pulling off us, things off of us, and also making an adjustment in that inner man. So we don't go at it alone. We're not limited to our own resources or our own capabilities. Right? The Spirit walks in us. He will take us to that supernatural way of living. Right? The inner man, the new man. If you don't know, well, what is that new man? Tell me about it. You got to take OSL because we explain what the new man is. We explain what the work of the Holy Spirit is in you. Right? You got to take the OSL program. And so God wants to strengthen you through his Spirit. We talked about the solid life. It takes the work of the Spirit in you. He'll make those adjustments in you. Anybody here has ever been adjusted by the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand if you've ever undergone the adjustment of the Holy Spirit. That's good. That's good. See, he does it, and he's not done with you yet. See, sometimes there's a sin that we're struggling with, right? And we failed to realize, wait a minute, there are sins we're no longer struggling with. What happened? We allowed the Holy Spirit to make that adjustment in the inner man. We allowed him to make that change in us, and the adjustment happened, and we no longer struggle with that anymore. Right? Sometimes when I think about my old life, I'm wondering, was that me or was that somebody else? I mean, it's so distant from me. It's so different from me. I'm wondering, was that me or was I making it up? Do you know what I'm talking about? What has happened? He's already made that adjustment. It wasn't me. It was the old me. This is the new me. Amen? And so you got to spend time with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to do that work internally in me. Because that, I want to be new again. I don't want to be white-knuckling it anymore. Amen? Don't ever give up. But even if you got to white-knuckle it, that's a good place to start, right? You can get somebody, another brother or sister in the church, say, hey, bro, will you be praying for me? Will you hold me accountable? We'll start there. It's a baby step, but we'll take baby steps around here. Amen? But the Holy Spirit wants to make it permanent. And here's the third thing regarding the Holy Spirit. Not only that the Holy Spirit will give us joy beyond circumstances, not only will he strengthen us in the inner man, in who we really are, but the Holy Spirit will also pour God's love into our hearts. You know, part of the problem in our culture is and it's almost like, did people forget how to love? Right? Did people forget? I mean, it's amazing the way people treat other people nowadays. Like, people are just walking around looking for a fight. It's like, what happened? I mean, how do we get so far away from love? Well, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us love. And I'll explain what I'm talking about. Romans 5:5 says this. It says, now hope does not disappoint. Hope, the anticipation that God's going to move, right? We got to have hope. That's where it starts. Now, hope does not disappoint. In other words, if God puts hope in your heart, he's going to move, then he's going to move, right? Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, if you cannot really love unconditionally until you receive that unconditional love. Your capacity to love really will equal the love that you experience from above. If you understand the love of God, that's how I knew that God was calling me to be a pastor. Could I make a confession? Okay, good. I'll just make it to you, bro. Nobody else wants to listen. And you've heard me say it before. Before the Lord saved me, before the Lord began to work with me, for sure before the Lord called me to ministry, I didn't have a love for people. Because I was raised, I can't say how I was raised, but I just say, you know, the heck with people. There you go. Right? You can fill in the blanks. I was raised in such a way, my dad mainly taught me that. The heck with people. And so, I was raised that way, and so that's the way I was. You know? If you face planet, hey, it's your fault, right? You got it coming. If something happened somewhere, something catastrophic, they had it coming. I mean, that's the way I was raised. But when I got saved and the Lord right immediately began to work in me, that was one of the things that the Lord went after, my lack of love for people. And then when he called me to ministry, he began to, I'm thinking, I'm going crazy. I'm caring about people, right? What's wrong with me? I care about people. I don't know if you're here. Maybe it applies to you. Maybe you say, you know, Pastor, I got to say, I'm a hard-hearted individual. I was. And you can get that way in this world where you're like, heck with people. Right? But if you're there, and we get there from time to time, we all get a little calloused. We read the paper or get online and you hear all this negativity, and pretty soon it gets on you too. Pretty soon you have the same the heck with people attitude, just like everybody else around us. And so if that's the case, number one, you need to repent of that attitude and you say, Lord, I need more love in my heart because I'm on empty. I'm not loving people real well. I'm not. See, because it's easy to love the people who love you back. That's easy. That's what I'm not talking about. That's easy. The scripture says, in fact, if you love those who love you, that's my version, but that's kind of what he's saying. But try to love the family member that's a pain in the rear. Try to love the coworker that's just a jerk. Try to love the neighbor who won't mow his lawn and he lets his dog come poop in your lawn. I mean, try to love that guy. Right? I'm not speaking by personal experience, but I, you know... See, the Lord always, when it comes to love, the Lord always takes really the initiative. He loved first, Scripture says. Right? We can love because he first loved us. That's what Scripture says. He comes after us. And he'll express his love because he wants us to overflow, because when love overflows, it spills over. We sometimes have our love tank empty. And if you're here tonight and you would say, you know, Pastor, yeah, I'm a love tank. My caring about people is kind of empty because I'm not caring about people. I'm just so busy. I'm just going. And I'm not taking the time to love people, to love the unlovable. If that's you, then I'm going to do something today, right? If you're maybe lacking some joy tonight, if maybe you're lacking some internal strength, if you're maybe lacking some love, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And then we're going to get Pastor Steve up here. And then we're going to get Pastor Tammy, if she's ready, up here too. Okay. You guys ready to stand up? I want to lead you in this prayer. And I put it up there for you. Okay. Stand up. This is your prayer. Make it your prayer. Okay. Here we go. Almighty God. That was lame. Come on. Here we go. Almighty God. I invite you into all my circumstances. I choose joy. I choose strength. I choose love. By the power and the generosity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.